when we have baptism, that baptism is a component of the Christian faith where you are going public with something God has done in your heart. And for at least a lot of the youth that come through or children that come through, once they get baptized, they receive a Bible like this. And it's called a Following Jesus Bible. Following Jesus Bible. Actually, that could just be every Bible. Because that's the goal of a believer. Once you profess your faith, is that you would follow Christ. Well, that's the name of our series that we have been in the book of Mark. Following Jesus, getting this roadmap, this plan, steps for what it looks like to be a believer that follows Jesus. And today, we will dive right into the words and story of Scripture found in Mark chapter 4. If you can turn there with me, we're going to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start at 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus has been communicating ways in which the believer should understand who he is. And in understanding who he is, you begin to have a life modeled after his behavior and his actions.
I'm sorry, Pastor Mark.
Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And when someone gets there in our pew Bible, can tell us what page 1430. Mark chapter 4, starting. And today we have a good amount of scriptures to go through. So are you excited about reading? Amen.
Hope you're excited about reading.
Oh, yeah. Starting in verse 35. That day, evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the wave, and said to the waves, "Quiet. Be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." Starting in verse 35, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." This is an interesting story, because that any of us can find ourselves in. After this story, there's a situation that happens where the disciples are entering into an environment that is scary, and something scary happens. They wonder where Jesus is up. And he shows up, makes everything peaceful, it should be all good, but it's kind of not how life is. Life isn't just problem solved, on. Sometimes it's problem, another problem, where's the solution? God, where are you in the midst of this? I can't see you, I feel the problem, solution. Jesus, what's going on? And that's kind of what the disciples find themselves in. Themselves in something that they didn't think they would be in. Jesus was the one that said, "Let's go." If you look at verse 35, he said, "Let's go over to the." So you and I may be okay with assuming that if Jesus is going to take me there, it's going to be a smooth. You said, "Let's go." You know how you get with friends that drive, and they get lost, and supposed to be taking you somewhere. Maybe it's just me, but I get frustrated when that happens. Why you ain't follow the GPS? Why you ain't let me drive? If you taking me, get me there the way I would go. Get me there kind of smooth. Get me there kind of safe. But Here, Jesus takes them. Things shift. It's called a furious squall. Now, we don't know what that is, because that ain't our language. But we know fear. We know scariness. We know uncertainty. And water is one of those things that can create a fear, because it happens above and beneath you. Like it's tough for us to understand storms, because we live, there's houses, buildings, cars, all these things in the way. So you seeing a storm is quite difficult for you to get scared of. You walk outside and all of a sudden it's raining. But if you live in a little flat area, you can actually from a distance see a storm. And it's kind of scary. Nice, beautiful sky turned gray in the blink of an eye, and it's coming towards you. Now imagine the case, and what's under you is shaking just as much as what's above you. That was what it meant to be on the water. And actually, in the, it was seen as if God was the only one that could control the ocean, because the ocean was so powerful. The ocean had so much might to it that it could rock underneath and above you, and who could control it but God? And so, in verse 38, we find our God asleep. Our God not emotionally rocked by this situation. Our God approached with something that say that actually speaks the heart of our people. Maybe not y'all, it speaks the heart of me. Not Jesus, help us, it's about to get crazy. Not Jesus, still sleep. They say, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? If you cared happening, you'd be awake, you'd be calming me right now. Life jackets under the, are y'all tripping? If you cared, we wouldn't be going through this. The help of God in the timing that we want leads us to question at times the heart of God. The help of God, does he come help me when I want him? If not, sometimes we question, you're not on my time, so do you care? It's kind of crazy, and sometimes wrap our minds around what it looks like to know that he cares, but not see him, and still have crazy belief, hope, and trust in the promises that he gives. I put promises in things that are way less than God. Easy to not question the motive of things, like my stupid car. I mean, my car's been faithful, it's been working, it's cool, but the reason why I have faith in my car is because of four things. I believe the steering wheel will allow me to control it. I believe the brakes will allow me to stop it. I believe the seat belt will keep me secure. And I believe the airbags will injure me, but likely save my life from death. But when one of those things doesn't work, when an aspect of my car does not work, I never say, Honda, why you don't care about me? I never ascribe value and worth when something through the way I expect it to, but somehow with God, we do. Somehow with God, when he doesn't come on that timetable, when it doesn't show up the amount that we needed, you knew I needed 98 and you brought 70, you ain't get a rest, Lord. You want it to come when, and sometimes ascribe meaning to that. Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, quiet, be still. The wind died down. It was completely calm. I think that what God is doing in this verse, the next example, is going to be this helping you wrestle with, do you believe I can do it? Do you believe I got it? Do you believe I'm powerful enough for this situation? Okay, situation here is the external. Outside of your control. You can't control the wave, wind, you can't control the storm. And do you believe that when it comes your way, better yet, do you believe I got you? You see, that's the real question that's happening here when we get scared and fears will come. Do we believe that he has us? Do we believe that he is the one that is with us? Do we believe that he is calm, not because he doesn't care? He's calm because even when he's sleeping, even when he is what seems unengaged, he's still in control. I think that it is our external experiences that sometimes push us away from God. As I've talked to a lot of people for the past 5 years, and they've said different describing deconstructing their faith, most of it started with a painful experience. Something that they saw done by people, something that somebody said to them, a way that somebody didn't show up. And it led towards them starting to think and understand who God was and question. Pain can lead towards us, God. But in this situation, I'm trying to show that no matter how scary the situation, that I got you. It doesn't say how much water came over the boat. It doesn't say if they was barely breathing. It says he quieted it all. Quieted it. He did that. He did that. He did that too. But those two words, Be still. What is outside of your power, outside of your control, that God wants to have be still in your life? But that we are not running to him in the midst of the storm. During this time, there's a lot of things that we can seek control in, a lot of friends we can call first. Encourage us to seek God, pursue God, and trust that God will calm those things in the appropriate time. I'm not telling you something that I think is easy, but I'm telling you something that I know works. I know it happens. I know that God comes through, and he comes by being a presence with us and for us, always in a way that I can describe. Because we have people in this room have prayed for different healings. Some have been healed, some have not. With both. God is walking with and holding both. And though I wish I could determine who gets healed and who doesn't, actually I don't, because y'all would be mad at me. I'm grateful for the journey with you and trust God for everything. So if that's an external example, no matter what gets thrown at you, come seek me in the midst of it. Now we're going to shift an internal example. Continue to Mark chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This man experienced some torment, but also experienced some extreme strength and some extreme power during being possessed in this way. And he would cry out and hurt himself. He would harm himself. And anyone that tried to bound him, watch out, because you probably got hurt too. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Now we see the element that's bringing, forth challenge, the element that is hurting is not something external. It's not a storm external. It's actually something internal. It's actually something causing great harm and great pain to the inside of this. He acknowledges the Most High, which gives just reference of God being over all, being over every nation, over every God. Verse 9, then Jesus asked, "What is my name?" "Is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And Jesus again and again, not to send them out of the area, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, on the steep bank into the water, drowned. Those pigs ran off and reported on the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there and in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demons and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to leave this region. I don't think you can probably find the name of a person that's more in shambles. This man is alone. This man is himself. Try to provide help, maybe to harm so he doesn't cut himself. They get harmed. It is one that is devastating in nature. One that is very unique. It's tough for us to wrap our minds around because, again, we don't have caves and see people foaming at the mouth doing crazy things. But I do believe demon possession is real. I will say that I don't believe it's real for the in the sense that the Holy Spirit, John talks about, like, dwells in us and fills us. And so there's not like this demon can just come and kick God out of you. No, like once God resides in you, that doesn't mean you aren't tempted by demonic expressions. But I see things that are so evil that it makes me, I think this text is trying to help us see that evil things can exist, and we need God to get it out of. Do you believe that the most evil of things God can take away, that he can deal with, to give this example of evil that took place in, and I believe it's demonic because I don't like supernatural demonic. I believe it is Satan impacting the way a person thinks that they would conduct themselves in a way of just pure evil. My goodness, I'm trying to the names. There's in France. a human being named Pelicot and his wife Giselle. In the last 2 years, Dominique went on trial because, try to keep this as PG as possible, because she was in a grocery store trying to film under women's dresses. When they caught this man, they looked at all of the video footage in his home. Came to find out that he was drugging his wife, and his wife for 10 years has been going to the doctor trying to find out what's wrong with her because she has felt off mentally, having large spans of memory loss. Unfortunately, this man was drugging his wife and each night inviting strangers to come and have relations with her. Recording it. And now 51 men are being tried, they should, as people who would have relations with someone without permission. And this man who has destroyed the life of his wife and grandchildren is also on trial. I don't think you can conduct that type of behavior and not have Satan's demonic presence within you. And I think that sometimes because we don't have these supernatural experiences of like somebody breaking chains and things, we think that demonic presence isn't here. I'm saying it because if you deal with said, I asked my wife if she might entertain out of our marriage, and she said no. He should help right then. Evil is ugly. But I think God is an example of evil so that we would know you would never do that. Don't see yourself too high above anyone else that has. Don't think that you have internal evil that you don't need to take to God for help. Well, I'm not that evil. That's good. Praise the Lord that you're not. But is there another level of evil? Is there some ideas that you thought of when your candidate didn't win? Is there some evil that you was ready to blow? Is there some things that had we been able to open up, actually see some of the thoughts? We need God to help us internally. We do externally. Why? Because he can control it. He has the power. He's saying, yeah, you that evil, but I got you. Yeah, these forces may want to tempt you. Worst of worst, unimaginable, but I got you. If you will give it unto me. It's interesting that Jesus talks to them and talks about the unbelief of those in the boat. Watch the belief that's going to happen in these next verses. Continue with me. I can. Verse 21. Internal issues. Now we have another timing issue. Now, first we have external, God shows internal evil. We have an internal struggle about timing, where one person has an issue that they've been carrying a very long time, and can you trust God when it's been a long time? It seems like it's final, it's over, like God can't step in. Look at these. Verse 21, when Jesus crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he pleaded earnestly with him. My daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. He went with him. A crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Blood was things that could disqualify you from being able to enter into the house of worship. Actually, it could disqualify you from being part of the activities with your family. So it is a pretty good assumption that this woman wasn't just having this experience. She also lived in solitude, lived alone for a couple days, alone for some months. Every time that everybody gets together to do life together, you can't go for years. When would you have given up? Been enough. Month two? Year two? Year 12? Like this is a need, and I love that in verse 26 it says she had suffered a great deal under the care of and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. If I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Another verse that says toward him. You see, the willingness to believe that in spite of the length of time that I have not been cared for, if Christ can do something, time is but a blink. Imagine how she felt the day she was healed. I'm sure she wasn't like, oh, well, let me think back on year three. Oh, man, what was I doing year five? When she got healed, I'm sure she said, hallelujah, I'm moving forward. Family, I miss you. I'm back. Let's go worship in the house of the Lord. Healing erased all the time of waiting. Some of you are in that time of waiting. Keep seeking him. Keep pressing. His hem of his garment, like it's just out of your reach. Keep pressing, keep pursuing, keep seeking him. Are you saying that then I will be healed right away? I believe, I'm trusting in God for your healing. I can't say what that timing is. I can't guarantee it's on this side of heaven. I'm praying that it is, though, and I'm with you about it, but what I can guarantee you is that Christ wants you with him and wants you to know that he got you. Even a situation where it feels like you don't see him pray, he got you. Verse 29, immediately after her bleeding stopped, she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So I listened to a podcast the other day. A gentleman was talking about the fruits of the Spirit, kindness, and all these beautiful things. And then one of those fruits of the Spirit was long suffering. Somebody threw that in there. Like how did long suffering get in there? How did suffering get in there? And then you're gonna make the suffering long. Who threw that in there? Back in the Bible for the first Bible. And yet, God does something through our suffering. God grows us and draws us closer to him, even if... Verse 30, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? There was a missions class. A guy named Herbert Jackson told how a new missionary signed a car. I think I told you guys this example about 3 or 4 years ago. He was a car that would not start without a push. After pondering his problem, he had devised a plan. He went to the school near his house. He got permission to take some children and had them push his car off. As he made his either park on a hill or he would leave the engine running. He used this ingenious procedure for about 2 years. His health forced his family to leave. A new missionary came to that situation. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began looking under the hood. Explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted. Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable. He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's roared right into life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become his routine. The power was there. Only a loose connection kept Jackson that power to work. J.B. Phillips paraphrases Ephesians 1 by saying, 19 by saying, how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. When we have our connection with God, his life and power flow through us. There's this crazy dynamic of as believers, we have access to so much that God offers us through prayer, through pressing. Now we gotta be careful. As we talk about us having power, which we do have, through prayer, through seeking God, power don't mean control. But I'm only gonna say that once. And see, sometimes we like to camp out on that part, and it takes away the joy of the situation. You telling me, God, yeah, but don't try to control it, shut up. Power. Do you believe that you have power? Do you believe God is excited to do things to you and for you? And he's like right behind the door for you to knock and come in, waiting right with excitement, like, oh, the storm came. It came to me. You came to me. You didn't to that thing that's trying to pull you away. You didn't go that thing that you do when you know that you get scared. You came to me. Do you imagine our Father so excited to do life with us, to unleash his power when we come to him in prayer with a sincere belief? Continue in verse 31. Say, you see the people, Jesus, his disciple, answered, and yet you can who touch me. But Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has go in peace, be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus. If hers was a long time of waiting, a 12 years of waiting, and then God coming through and this one is about done. Whatever your situation is, like, okay, put the on it, it's over, because death has to be final. While Jairus was still speaking, some people came to the house of Jairus, synagogue leader, your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus was afraid. Just go eat. Don't be afraid. Just go veg out on Instagram. Don't be afraid. Just go play some sports. Don't be afraid. Just go slander people. Don't be afraid. Just go smoke some weed. Don't be afraid. Just what would be your advice to go to when says no, don't be afraid. Just believe. It's supposed to be this like pastor deep moment of let me explain the intricacies of theology. No, man, just believe. Believe that he'll show up in moments that look like they are beyond what I can imagine. Just believe when things are dead that I will have an impact and an influence. I don't claim for belief powers. If I had been Jairus, I probably would have gone to the friends. Because it was clear he was going to Jesus. They told him what was done. And they're like, well, why are you still going to him? But he goes anyway. Anyway. Verse 37, he did not let anyone follow. Oh, this is Jesus. Did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, brother James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, they saw a commotion with people crying and wailing and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. They laughed. After he put them all out, I love Jesus. Out then. He took the child's father and mother and disciples who were with him and went in where the child was, took her by the hand, and said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up, began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about them and told them to give her something to eat. See another expression of belief. When given situations and given a definitive answer, when told she's gone, he still presses on and goes to Jesus and presents Jesus with the opportunity to show out, to allow display. And really, that's what this is about. Whatever the situation, whether it's external or internal, are you willing to invite God power be on display? Sometimes that power is something that people won't see as clearly. Sometimes it's God's doing a work in me, and you'll look up and see that I'm here. Like, whoa, look at you, a new person. A new outlook. You conduct yourself different. You speak different. You act different. It's the world around me of neighbors on both sides fighting and throwing bricks at each other and breaking all my windows. I don't know. What I do know is God wants to show up and let his power be on display. But be careful. Be careful not to be too churchy. Be careful not to be too close to the cross, but not expect things of it. Look with me in the next verses, chapter 6, and we're going to get out of here. Jesus left there, his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. These things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. See, the other examples are people on full display in situations that make no sense. Now, because you got know him a little bit, your faith begins to be lacking. And I know that this is specific to a specific to his home, but it can also be dangerously specific to our hearts if we're not careful. Get cool with prayer requests going up. Pray. Amen. Got it. Hallelujah. That don't take belief. Sometimes you can get a bit of the spray. You know, you can be in the midst of something and just get a little whiff, you know. I hug y'all and I'll be like, oh, I smell like your cologne or your perfume, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it smells so good. I'm like trying to get a little bit extra. But my point is, sometimes just being in the presence begin to have. So I believe being in the house of the Lord, God's going to care for you. The care that he gives because you're present. The presence of God is real, but you God is what he desires and longs for. And we see here, their faith lacks, saying here, you got an opportunity. Let me show up and show out. God, I thank you. The Lord, if they're with demonic thoughts that they know don't reflect you, also in a great depth reflect evil. Lord, help us to have belief in you, have a dependence on you. Help this person to become saved by even saying, God, take this out, so they welcome you into their heart, Lord. It's our way. Help us to follow you. Even the disciples at times got it wrong. He said, come on, where's your faith, Lord? Disciples. Help us depend on you. In Jesus' holy name we pray.